It's been really good to be with you this weekend. How many people were at some of the conference? Just show your hands. About half and half. That's good. Thank you. It's really nice that you came back this morning. It's very encouraging for me. We've been talking about how the Holy Spirit is Jesus' gift to bring the life of Jesus in us. He helps us to become a Christian, and he also helps us to grow as a Christian as well. And so we've been talking about the adventure of being a Christian and following Jesus. And I wanted to talk this morning a little bit about what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. Because a disciple is somebody who is following Jesus. But sometimes we think being a discipleship is just being a good person who believes lots of things. You know, you believe the right things and you try and become a moral good person. And it's difficult for us to understand what Jesus means by discipleship, especially because that is not the spirit of the age in which we live. The culture we live in tells us to be a consumer, and it always wants us to be at the center of everything. So I'm old enough that my grandmother can remember that when she went to the shops to buy shampoo, that she would go in and she would ask the man in the little shop, could I have shampoo? And he would give her shampoo. And now if you go to the supermarket for shampoo, you have much more choice. So you have shampoo for people who have colored hair and normal hair and dry hair and gray hair and curly hair and damaged hair and people who are losing their hair. You have shampoo with vegetables and with honey and with fruit and with beer and with coffee. And there's like so many choices. And the reason we have so many choices is because the marketing people, who are some of the cleverest people in the world, they know that they can sell things if they make you feel special. That this is special for you. It's not like you don't need an ordinary shampoo. This shampoo for you is perfect. It's like it's just for you. And the same is true with fast food. So some of the fast food chains say you can have it your way. You know, if you don't like this, just tell us, we'll take it off. When you go into the coffee bar, you know, you have your own personal special order with your own special type of milk and your own special coffee bean. And you can make lots of choices so that it's your own special cup of coffee. And if you go and buy makeup, then the advertising company says, you can buy whatever you like because you are worth it. You're worth it. And we say that in advertising, the customer is king. You know this phrase? The customer is king. Whatever you want, that's what we will try to give you. Because it makes you feel special, and when you feel special, you're going to spend more money on their products. So the customer is king is a very good way of selling products, but it's a terrible way of being disciples, because Jesus is king. And so it's really hard for us. We have been taught by everything in our culture that you're important and your needs are really special and your feelings are the most important thing. And so you need to be at the center and everybody else just needs to accept you the way that you are. That is a really bad way of being a disciple. Because to be a disciple is to say, actually, I'm not king anymore. Jesus is king. And learning to live under his lordship, under his kingship, is hard, I think, for modern people. Even when we come to church, some of you have driven past quite a few other churches to get here this morning. Is that right? You know, live a long way away and there are other nearer churches, but you've come here, right? Why? I guess because you like it. I guess because here you find it particularly helpful for you to meet with God. You know, you like the worship, you like the priests, you like the teaching, it's good for your children. And so it's not wrong to have choice, but sometimes subtly having choice puts us in the center again. And so maybe we come to the service and we look at the preacher and we think, oh no, it's the Englishman. I wish it was his wife. Yeah, oh, it'd be, oh, never mind, never mind. Or it's like you look at the band and you think, oh great, it's going to be fantastic. And then you think, oh no, but so-and-so is going to lead the prayers. And so often when we are aware of what we like, we start getting a little bit critical about what we don't like, and then we actually forget that it's not the person, it's whatever God might say. It's whatever God might do. And it comes through, you know, we so often move from being consumers to being critics, and then when we become critics, we can become cynics. And we don't get what God wants to give to us. So I came across a little passage in John's Gospel that I think is really helpful to tell us what Jesus thinks a disciple is. And it's in John chapter 12. We have it on the screen in Danish as well. But I'm going to read it in English because you do not want to hear me read it in Danish. Although you might have a good laugh. It could be quite fun. So this says that there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. John's Gospel is one of the four records of Jesus' life. And at this point, Jesus has just come into Jerusalem for the last week before he goes to the cross. And so there's a lot of very important teaching that Jesus is giving his disciples before he is crucified to save us and then rises at Easter. So they've all come up to the festival. And there were some Greeks. These people were probably, but they were believers in God, but they lived in another part of the world, and they had come to worship. And they came to Philip, and they came with a request. Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Now, people are always interested in Jesus, even in our secular world today. People are interested in Jesus. Sometimes they're not so keen on the church, but they love Jesus. Jesus is very attractive. So Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip went in turn to tell Jesus. Now, if I was Jesus's publicity advisor, I would be saying, Jesus, this is it. You have been saying that you are going to be the light of the world. You have been saying that you are the savior of the world. This is it, Jesus. Now we're going to go international, not just Israel. Now you're going to go global. Jesus, you're going to be known all the way around the world. This is a great opportunity. But Jesus seems to try to put them off. It's like this would be a great opportunity for Jesus to give them an exciting message, but he actually starts talking about dying. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now, in John's Gospel, when John says glorified, he actually means that Jesus has a cross. In John's Gospel, the throne of Jesus is the cross of Jesus. So glorified means crucified, but we don't know that yet. So Jesus says, the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now, there's a lot in that passage, but the first thing is that Jesus is quite happy to put people off. Even when they're interested, Jesus doesn't want them just to start following him. Jesus is not interested in followers. He's not interested in fans. What he really wants is true followers. So Jesus is actually saying, yeah, great that you're interested, but I really want you to follow me. I don't want you just to sort of have a little bit of me in your life. I want you to follow me as your master, as your king. And so he's quite happy to put people off. But the other thing is he starts talking about death in a way that's really interesting. He says that if a single seed falls to the ground, it's only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. Or in your translation, it says it has a great harvest. Now, it's really hard to believe that Jesus was thinking of anything else at this point other than himself. Who's the one seed? Well, it's Jesus. And Jesus has just said, the time has come for me to be crucified. And what he's saying is, if I die, if I, the single seed, die, I will produce many seeds. Now, this is a basic lesson in agriculture. If you have an apple you have some seeds in it. If you put the seed in the ground and the seed dies, you produce an apple tree, which has many apples in it. And all of those apples in it have seeds. So within every apple, you have an orchard. Within every apple, you have huge potential. Now, normally, when Jesus talks about his death, he talks about his death as a saving death. He says, this is an opportunity for you to put your sins on me so you can be forgiven and have a relationship with God that's not blocked by your sin. But this time, he's saying not just that his death is a saving death, he's actually saying his death is a multiplying death. The point of him dying is that his life will be multiplied into many people. And in the Gospels, Jesus has said this many times. In Matthew chapters 9 and 10, Jesus sent out the 12 and he said, the harvest is plentiful, big harvest, but the workers are few. So we should ask God to multiply workers and then you go and do it. In Luke chapter 10, he says the same thing about the 72. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. You go and do it. What Jesus is saying, this is how we do it. Because he dies, it's possible for us to carry his life. He died so that his one life becomes many lives in us. Just a couple of chapters later, Jesus will say to the disciples, after I've died, I'm going to go to the Father, and we will send the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes, the Father and I will come and live in you. So a discipleship is about Jesus' life in us. And then Jesus says, if you love this life, you'll lose it. If you chase after the things of this world, ultimately, that's all you get. And you're not going to be able to take them with you. But if you look after and value and prioritize the things that last forever, then you'll keep them forever. That's what he means by that. But then right at the end, there's this little sentence. And this sentence intrigued me. It confused me. Jesus says, whoever serves me must follow me. And when I read that a few years ago, I thought, that's the wrong way around. I would expect Jesus to say to these people who are interested in him, look, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to be a servant. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you want to follow me, you're going to have to serve me. But he doesn't, does he? What he says is, whoever serves me must follow me. Which kind of implies that there might be a way of us thinking that we're serving Jesus, which isn't right. And I think what Jesus is saying is, look, if you want to be my disciple, you don't get to decide what to do. You can't just say, right, I'm going to be a Christian. I think I'm going to, I'll give this money and I'll do that ministry and I'll make these changes. That's still, even though you're trying to do good things, that's still putting yourself at the center of your life, right? Jesus says, whoever serves me must follow me. And a lot of us get discipleship wrong. We just kind of like, well, what should I do? And then we get a list and we think, okay, I need to do all those things if I'm going to be a Christian. The type of discipleship Jesus is talking about is a lot more challenging. It's simple, but it's difficult. Discipleship, as far as Jesus is concerned, is when he says to you, she looks a little bit lonely. Go and talk to her. Or that person really needs to hear about me. Go and tell him. Or that person's not doing very well, and you did okay last month, so give them a little bit of help. Discipleship is actually a very close relationship with Jesus where he nudges you to do little things. And the funny thing is that Jesus said that if you're faithful in the little things, he'll give you the bigger ones. So sometimes we say, well, why? I don't know why I'm not growing as a Christian. And Jesus is saying, well, I keep asking you to do things and you don't do them. And sometimes we think that to be a good Christian, you know, we're probably going to have to do something spectacular, like sell everything and go and become a missionary in China. And Jesus is saying, I'm not going to start there. I'm actually going to start with asking you to go next door to your neighbor and to pray for her. Or I'm going to start with asking you to go and apologize to that person that you offended. Or I'm going to start by asking you to become a bit more generous and trust me with your finances. So discipleship is hearing what Jesus wants us to do and saying, okay, Lord, you're the king, I'm not. It's really simple, but it's really challenging. It takes a complete change of the way that we see the world. That even following Jesus is, to a certain extent, not our choice. He calls us and we just have to obey. And being a Christian is not us deciding what we want to do each day, but waking up and saying, Lord, I'm here. I want to serve you today. So show me where you are. Show me what you're doing. Help me to join in. It's that simple. But that's what we mean when we say that we have a relationship with Jesus. He will walk with us, and he will talk with us, and he will suggest that we do little things. And the great thing is, as we're faithful in the little things, then he just gives us more and more. So I'd love to pray for you this morning. And the way that we've been praying over the conference is that we've actually been allowing a lot of space just for God to meet with us personally. Because he's really excited that you're here today. And it's not about me coming to talk to you, but it's about what he might want to say to you today as well. So would you just like to stand? The band are going to come back in a minute, and they're going to lead us in a bit more worship as we move towards communion, which is another way of us remembering what Jesus has done and meeting with him again. But would you just, for a moment, be still before God? I encourage you to close your eyes. And we've often, during the conference, been using a body posture of opening our hands in surrender. What is it that Jesus might want to say to you today? Come, Holy Spirit, help us meet with Jesus, hear from Jesus, receive from Jesus. Remember, discipleship is his life in us. I pray that you would be filled with his life this morning. Lord, we say to you, not my will, but yours. We don't want to run our own lives anymore. We trust you as a good and a loving God. And we choose to turn over control of our life to you. Make us sensitive to your nudges. Make us responsive to the things that you're leading us to do. Make us quick to act.